This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think...
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Week 18 is here in the NFL. Soon we'll have a week 19 in an 18-game schedule. Hell, we might have a week 20 for an 18-game schedule. Who knows about that? And it's not great. I'll be honest, it's not great. There's a few compelling games, but we fall victim, I think, as fans to always wanting the best of the best, and everything's got to be great, and then we bitch and moan on social media about, these games stink, like we did for the first two college football playoff games on New Year's Day. Welcome aboard. It is Sports Saturday. I am Steve Zabin. You can reach me at Zabe on Twitter, Charlie Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And, of course, you can also listen to my podcast if you are a podcast kind of guy. It's called The Zabecast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Good to be filling in today for Adam Epstein, AWOD's Army. I am your substitute leader today, and I will go, hopefully, in places you want me to go. I'm going to talk some NFL this hour. We're going to talk to Denton Day, who, along with Linnell Willingham, do the YouTube pre and post for the Commanders, get his thoughts on this final game of the year. A season that really can't end soon enough. Disastrous season that has unraveled in multiple ways. If there's any silver lining, and I tried to spin this on a previous fill-in shift, I think a few days ago, a week ago, I said, look at the standings that the Commanders are swimming in now, the four-win waters, all right? They're much better off than just about everybody else in those waters for two main reasons. They're not thinking about who's our next quarterback, and they're not going to make any sharp moves with their coach. Now, this doesn't mean that I think that Dan Quinn is set for a long time here. I don't. I think this is going to be an interesting pivotal year for him, especially depending on how the development of Jaden Daniels goes and whether there's a ton of injuries again. But those two things alone, they're not going to be looking to hire a coach and they don't have to worry about their quarterback, sets the Commanders up in a much better spot than almost all of the other 4-3-2 win teams out there. And so that's a good thing. The biggest question to start, I think, is Cliff Kingsbury and what's going to happen there, and how much of a loss would it be, or could it be a net positive with a slightly different angle on what kind of offense they're going to run. Here's what Kingsbury said just yesterday as he made his media availability for the week of this final season. He is expected to draw head coaching interest outside of here, according to multiple sources that cover the league. The two teams that are seriously going to kick the tires are the Tennessee Titans and the New York Giants, in part because they've got young quarterbacks that have a lot of talent that I believe Kingsbury is particularly suited towards connecting with young quarterbacks. The success Kingsbury had, modest success, with Kyler Murray in Arizona, and obviously last year with Jaden Daniels, makes him an attractive sort of head coach QB whisperer type. And so whether or not that's going to be the way that Kingsbury wants to go remains to be seen. He said last year after the big season the Commanders had, I've got no interest in leaving. And that was a good thing. It put that to rest. And I think most of the Commanders fan base were quite happy that, you know what, good, we're not going to change things up after this great year that we just had. I also remember when Kingsbury got fired in Arizona, he tweeted, I'm on a one-way ticket to, what was it, Metal Chris, help me out, I'm drowning here. The swanky vacation
Thailand,
place.
Thailand, I believe.
Thailand, thank you. I was going to name every other country in the Pan-Pacific Ocean before I was going to hit on Thailand, right? Yeah, he was like, I'm on a one-way ticket to Thailand. And it was such a great mic drop. And, hey, must be nice for a guy that doesn't have family, kids, obligation, or money worries to say I'm on a one-way ticket to Thailand. Well, he found another one-way ticket back to the U.S., and he picked up and started doing good stuff for the Commanders in his first year with Jaden Daniels. Now, question is, what is he going to do next? He said on the possibility of looking at other head coaching jobs yesterday, going to cross that bridge when and if we get there. The focus right now is on trying to beat Philly. I'm excited to work with Josh Johnson one more time. And that's a good, solid head coach answer. I think I agree with Danny Ruye, who said, look, if he goes, I'll be like, eh, okay. I'm not broken up over it. But I'm not also thinking that we can't get somebody equal or better, perhaps, to what he was. It's a coordinator, people. I think Joe Witt Jr.'s got to go as well. I think that's already been baked into the plans. They may try to reassign him somewhere. I think the defense was better when Quinn started taking it over. And that's where you start the offseason. Then you start making those hard decisions of who of the older guys are worth bringing back and why. Where do we triage the lack of depth and talent on this team via the draft? Can they finish high enough to be able to trade down and multiply the picks? Let them multiply like rabbits in the pen. And the offseason will begin. Who cares if they beat the Eagles? Tanner McKee starts for the Eagles, and it'll be Johnson for the Commanders. We'll talk more about this with Denton Day in just a second. I got a caller on line one. I'm not looking at the screen right now. Let me know who this is.
We got Mark and Largo.
Let's go, Mike and Largo. Good morning, sir. How are you? You're on Sports Saturday. Mark.
What's up, Steve?
Hello, Mark.
You know what's funny? What's up, buddy? You know what's funny? In the last 6 months, I've been saying, really, in the last 5 months, I've been saying that there's been a big disconnect between Adam Peterson and Cliff Kingsbury. And this actually, what Diana Rossini has been saying, pretty much confirms it. Yeah. And what's sad is you got a lot of people in the media, in sports radio, that are sitting up here, that were in blah, blah, blah. No, Chris is going to stay. Everything is fine. Everything is just... And you look, you know what I noticed in the last few weeks, Steve, is, you know, for about a month, everybody's been saying that Jaden's injury prone. Well, since Mariota's gotten hurt, no one has said anything about him being injury prone. No. You got two quarterbacks.
That's ridiculous.
The same way in his system.
Jaden is risk prone. He likes to take risks running the ball.
Okay.
It doesn't mean he's necessarily injury prone. We'll right. have to see about the injuries. I'm more concerned about, like, I hate it when a guy is soft tissue injury prone.
Right.
You know, the hamstring guys right. that take 4 or 6 weeks. Because
right.
he can't do anything about that. If a guy snaps
well,
his ankle.
Well, the hamstring healed up for him. That was
I know.
Now, the wrist thing, that was fluky. That, to me, was fluky. I've
I
never
agree.
Seen that before. That was
I
fluky.
Agree. Well, it was fluky, except the more you run, the more you go action Jackson
True.
And stiff arm guys
True.
And want to be out there in the wild, these defenders
you don't
are
have
gonna
the
snap
size.
You, man.
And that's yeah. where he's got – I think that part he does have to get bigger on. I think if he can get 15 to 20 pounds bigger on.
That wouldn't hurt. That wouldn't hurt. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to make him Josh Allen. I don't know about you,
no,
and
no.
I know Allen's going to sit this Sunday – I don't know how Allen runs the way he does, as recklessly as he does, and doesn't get majorly hurt. He is built like
well,
a tank.
Well,
Hurts is built like a tank
right
as well.
He's got
some guys don't get hurt nearly as much.
Well, think about this. That's what we used to say about Cam Newton until 2016 and 17. That's when he started breaking down. And he
yes.
was never the same player after that. And you wonder, because Josh has been doing a lot of running, doing all this stuff, could this be because they said there's something going on with his foot right now. If you start seeing years to come that Josh starts to become Cam Newton, where he starts breaking down because
yeah.
he can't move like he used to. And that's where I think is a problem right now. The thing I love about Jaden wants to be in the pocket. I think that Seattle game, he felt like he had to run because he didn't feel confident in the receiving core, which,
sure.
by the way, was the biggest problem I think Cliff has with Adam Peter.
Right.
Is receiving core, not Scary Terry. It's the receiving core that he's got. So I think
Cliff,
you have a problem
Cliff,
here. But I
in
do
fairness,
agree with you.
In fairness, Mark, Cliff had so little to work with in the middle stretch of the season.
Oh, without a doubt.
I can only
without
imagine what it was like trying to draft up a game plan. And then I guarantee you Daniels was looking out there going, yeah, no, you're not running the route right route. What are you
and
doing?
And that brings me to the other thing, which I thought, see, I put most of the season on Adam Peters because – you know, he felt like he made one great trade in Debo, and he just said, well, we're not going to bring De'Ami Brown back, and we're not going to bring Skiz, who, by the way, both of them are going to be on playoff teams.
Yeah, they're
winning
balling.
Teams this year. Yeah, both of them are. And he said, and, he was just arrogant in his ways on this stuff.
Yeah.
And the sad part was everybody else, Luke McCaffrey and everybody else he's drafted, I'm not saying they're bust. I think they can play. I wouldn't have drafted Luke McCaffrey in the third round. And Ben Sinnott is really – they need to get an athletic tight end this offseason.
Oh, I think they need two tight ends, which is tough because any decent team at least has two, both for flexibility
Absolutely.
And for injury concerns because they do go down, and that's the market the Commanders are going to be in, assuming that, you know, that Sinnott is a workable guy, that he's not going to kind of – you know, wash out as a guy who's not really worthy of the draft pick.
Steve, let me ask you something, and then I'll go after this. You remember in 93 when they had 16 games, but they had two byes. I personally think next season they should have two byes. Or and when they go to 18 games, definitely have two byes. Should
Agreed.
They just go back to two byes next season? Because I would. Because there's too many injuries right now with all
okay.
these quarterbacks right now.
Listen, I hear you. But there's no guarantee it would reduce injuries. It would make the injured guys enjoy another week of rest. Would it really create
True.
Fewer injuries? I don't know. I know this from a fan standpoint. I think it was bad for the league that you didn't know any given week because every team had two byes.
Yeah.
Who was actually playing? I think there is a value to knowing that, hey, it's an NFL Sunday or Monday. We know all the teams are going to be playing. One bye is bad
right.
enough. Two byes were really bad. But if they go to 18, they're going to have to go to two byes because the season will be too
I would
long.
Agree.
And imagine, yeah. imagine you know, this week twice next year at the end with more
yeah.
games if they go to that. It'll be bad. Thank
Absolutely.
You for the call, Mark.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
I got to go.
Like I said, nothing has ever gotten smaller or shorter in my lifetime in sports. And so what looks like an unstoppable march to eventually get to 18 games. Is going to be the case in the NFL. And I don't like it. Now, my proposal, which I've got very few supporters on, but that's okay. Genius is often lonely. Being ahead of your time is oftentimes not for the weak. Maybe people will come around on this. I have said the way you do an 18-game schedule is easy. It's 18 games. But nobody on the roster is allowed to play more than 16. What? How would that even work? Well, that's great. Settle down, people. Listen to me. It's easy. It's simple. What you do is you figure out when certain guys can take a rest. And if that means you think you're going to wait till the end of the year because you need to win and secure draft or a playoff position and or the seeds, then you could spend your last two sit-out games for a Josh Allen in weeks 17 and weeks 18. However, if a guy's kind of hurt but borderline but might be able to go, use one of your games early and go from there. The only wrinkle would be you'd probably have to have an exception for your specialists, your long snappers and kickers and punters, but that's fine. You can do that. Make an exception for the specialists. Otherwise, it's an 18-game schedule, but nobody's going to play all 18. They're going to play 16 of the 18. That's, to me, the way to do it. It's more football than we need. We didn't need more than 16. I didn't ask for more than 16. It was fine. Of course, my father's generation would say, well, we didn't think anyone needed more than 14 games. And they went to 16.
How would you define playing, though? Is it starting the game? Is it dressing?
Dressing. You manage your sit-outs. And there's always guys that are on the fence of could he play or not. It's just a spreadsheet. There'd be a quality control guy, Metal Chris, with a spreadsheet of, yep, this guy's used his two sit-out games. He's clear for the rest of the year. There'd be fun strategy in it. There might be some good locker room material, bulletin board material. Oh, you're resting Mahomes against us? Oh, how insulting. You think you can beat us without your star?
Yeah, it seems like it would make fantasy so complicated every week.
Oh, God, yes.
When would they have to declare this stuff? And then you have injuries. Is a player going to be back yet? Like,
let me tell you, two buys is going to make fantasy a nightmare. My proposal would make fantasy a nightmare on flames, on steroids, to the nth degree. But we can't run the world based on what the fantasy nerds think. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have Denton Day on, who does the pregame and postgame on 106.7, the fans' social media channels, along with Linnell Willingham on the final game of the season for the Commanders, the season from hell, the season that can't end soon enough. It'd be nice to end it on a nice note by at least putting one in the win column against the dirty, stinking birds of Philadelphia. Denton is next. It is Sports Saturday with Steve Zabin right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Son of a bitch, JR, this is his music. Denton Day joins us now, host of Burgundy and Gold Game Day on 106.7 The Fan social media channels. They'll be out at Honor Brewing in Loudoun, 2 o'clock to 4:25 tomorrow. Then they'll do halftime and postgame as well. Denton, good morning, sir. How are you?
Zabe, I'm wonderful, my friend. It's great to hear you routinely back on the airwaves in town again.
Well, thank you very much. Nice to team up with you. You and I haven't had a chance to play a little bit of radio ping pong until now, so let's get into it. Is there anything you're locked on to watching tomorrow against the Eagles, other than Ben Sinnott targets?
I mean, I'd love Bobby Wagner to get six tackles so he breaks the 2,000 mark with one to spare in case a rogue scorekeeper decides 4 hours after the game, actually, this tackle goes to somebody else.
Yes.
Get him 2,000 tackles, get him out of the game, put the young kids in there. They talk about Jordan McGee this week. Now he's doing so well in practice with the green dot. Put him out in the game. What's there to play for at this point? Let's see him.
That would be good, and you're right about the stat people. They oftentimes come in there and start monkeying around with the numbers after the fact, so let's make sure he gets there. Can we talk about the fact that Bobby Wagner had a season that I would have bet anything it would have declined this year, and yet he's still so productive? What is it about Bobby Wagner, other than the fact he's going to Canton, that makes him so productive at this age?
He's a machine. I think his football IQ is fantastic. You know, we've seen him take a slight step back in coverage, but I don't know if there was any point in his career where you want him solely in coverage. He's just so good. He understands gaps. He understands where to be when a play needs to be made. I'm in the same boat as you. I thought he'd have 100 tackles this year because I don't think there'll ever be a season, no matter how many games he plays, where he doesn't. But to have the amount that he's had this year and to be, you know, one of the leading tacklers in the NFL at this age has been really, really impressive.
Yeah. Four of the top six all-time tackle leaders in NFL history are in the Hall of Fame. For those who are retired, Bobby Wagner's third. He's not yet done. The only two guys not in are Jesse Tuggle of the Falcons, who played from 87 to 2000. He finished with 1,805. And our own London Fletcher with 2,039 tackles, second only to Ray Lewis. And not only is London not in the Hall of Fame, there is seemingly no buzz or push to get him there. I consider this an outrage.
I do too. And how great would it be if we can just fantasy book here, right? London and Bobby going in the same year, and they both having a Redskins for London, a Commanders tag for Bobby going in there. The fact that London's not in there is, as you aptly put it, an outrage. There's nothing to back it up other than, well, he wasn't an all-pro. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care that he was an all-pro. He's second all-time in tackles. That has to mean something. And it's weird, right? You get London, who's second all-time in tackles. You get Brian Mitchell, who's second all-time in all-purpose yards, and they're not in the Hall of Fame. How does that work?
Yeah. Do you like tackles, I would often say? Do you like it when somebody puts the ball carrier on the ground? Yeah, I do like that. That's a good thing. Well, this guy, London Fletcher, that's all he does. He erases plays. That's called a really good player. I think London Fletcher is, unfortunately, a victim of the draft industrial complex. Because he was undrafted, and because he went to a tiny college, John Carroll University, that stuck with him. Like, the perception of the pundits that cover this game oftentimes gets cemented, Denton, by where you came out of and how high you were drafted.
And then on top of that, he played a number of years on teams that weren't very good. So there's not a lot of attention paid when he's playing in some of those down years for the Bills or for the Rams or even here. I mean, we loved him here, obviously, but it was a very bare bones time when he was here, right? So I think that plays a factor into it as well.
Right. Also, Wagner was a second-round pick, but he came out of Utah State, so that's not exactly a high-profile school. Don't tell Chris Cooley about that. Denton Day joining us. He's on Burgundy and Gold Game Day tomorrow with Linnell Willingham, pregame out at Honor Brewing in Loudoun. What is your unified Cliff Kingsbury stance as of this 11th hour, perhaps, of his tenure as OC in Washington?
I like it when he does what he says he's going to do. I think that's the one thing that's hampered him, right? He's done all this talking about, hey, we're a run-first team, we're a run-first team, we're a run-first team. And then when the star quarterback is in, they're a pass-first team. And you're like, hey, like, you're built to run. The offensive line is built to run. I know the running back situation has been a little unique this year, but you got some dudes over there. I have not loved watching him call one kind of game for Jaden and then call a completely different kind of game for Marcus. Just, if you're going to be a run-first team, be a run-first team. And Jaden excels in that. And that's how I feel like when you're using him at his best. So I didn't love some of the things when he was healthy where we're just going to drop him back a bunch and see what happens. Nothing good came from that. So if he does what he says he's going to do, I think he's a pretty good offensive mind. But when he doesn't, you're like, hey, man, this is – you're hot, but you're not that hot. You know what I mean?
Right. What are the chances they run back both coordinators next year? I would put that at less than 5%.
Yeah, I would say zero. There's no chance that they don't upgrade a defensive coordinator. I think there's a – I would say there's probably about a – we'll say 60-40 chance that Cliff is back. Yeah. I can't imagine that Joe Witt is back unless he takes a reduced role as DB coach.
Right. And if – you know, whoever they bring in as DC, how much of Quinn's fingers do you want in the pie on that side of the ball next year?
I would like his input. I think as a CEO style head coach that he kind of is, his input is valuable. But I mean, they're in a really unique spot this offseason, Zabe. There's a lot of guys on defense that you're not going to bring back, which means if you want to do a complete flip of the scheme, this would be the time to do it because you're going to be upgrading, shall we say, hopefully, or at least changing out a bunch of different guys at a bunch of different positions. So if Dan Quinn wants to take a new swing and say, hey, we're going to use some elements of my philosophy, but I'm going to go get somebody that runs a totally different defense, one that excels against Shanahan-style offenses, and we're going to flip this entire bad boy over, I think that would be the perfect way to go.
The other narrative that I've gathered as I've dug in now, listening and hearing everyone's talk about the season, is that the training camp was way too much Club Med. Did you say that at the time, and do you think that's a valid narrative?
I think it was. There was... You know, last year they gave a lot of discretion and it worked. And there was, you know, when you're enjoying the ride there, that's cool. It makes a lot of sense. You know, there's a lot of veteran rest days because you have older players. It did feel like, at least from the amount that the media was allowed to see in the few days that I was out there, that they were kind of feeling themselves just a little bit, not a lot of it, just a little bit from last year. And then you get the Terry stuff that kind of was a dark cloud hovering over everything. You have a couple of injuries, you know, to Noah Brown and a few other guys. And it just felt like they never got their feet underneath of them. It felt like certain players did. You know, I thought Jaden had a good camp. You know, the injury situation was tough. Laramie Tunsil's been fantastic this year. There's no doubt about that. But there's just a lot of players that never fully got their feet underneath of them. So it did kind of feel like when you're looking at this, from the entire picture, you know, take a step, two steps, three steps back, and you're seeing the entire painting, and it felt like it was doomed from the beginning.
Yeah. Was there any one of the mocked up available edge rushers on display the last couple of days for the college football playoff that got you all lathered up?
Oh, let me tell you, if they sit, let's just say they get seven, right? Seven feels like the most likely pick based off of some scenarios, strength of schedule, math. People don't want to hear about math on Saturday. But if they're at six or seven, and both Reuben Bain and David Bailey are available, and they go with somebody else, it will be borderline unforgivable. David Bailey is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, Bailey looked sick. He popped off the screen even for the casual observer. And, of course, Bain has been very highly touted all along. If those guys are up there, and if they're not moving down, and if they don't take either one of them, we march. We march on something. I don't know what we're marching on. Maybe the bubble in Ashburn, but you know, we're not going to do any damage. Don't arrest us. But we're not going to sit idly by if that happens.
No, we're picket sign. I've never made a picket sign before. I was never good at posters when I was younger, but I'm sure we have somebody in the fan base that would be willing and readily available to make us some posters, slap them onto some pieces of 2x4, and we can march on Ashburn.
Yeah, absolutely. I got daughters. They got some puff paint pens, and I'll put some sprinkle sparkles on there. It'll look really sweet. I don't know what it'll say, but we'll work on that. All right, let's enjoy our football while it's on our plate, Denton, because it'll be a long time without eating from now until August of next summer. So enjoy the game tomorrow, and make sure to go out and say hi to the fellas at Honor Brewing in Loudoun on 42607 Trade West Drive in Sterling. Just look it up, Honor Brewing in Loudoun. They'll be there live pregame 2 to 425 tomorrow, then halftime and postgame on the streams. Thank you, Denton.
Thanks, Abe.
There you go. Denton Day, part of our Burgundy and Gold game day coverage. Yeah, you got to go for just whatever little things you can extract from the game, things you want to see, just to enjoy the uniforms running around, cracking skulls, making big hits. I mean, the Debo truck stick play from Christmas Day against the Cowboys, oh, glorious. I mean, that's the kind of thing. We get some of that. Maybe there'll be a fight or two. I know that Dan Quinn's like, okay, you want to rub it in against us? If that's how you want to get down, we'll see you in 2 weeks. My man Nick Ashew swore that he believes that one of the reasons that Sirianni is going to be sitting a bunch of his key players is because he doesn't want to get them suspended if a fracas does break out and one or more of them lose their cool and lose their heads and start swinging and getting kicked out of the game and suspended for their playoff game. That is not a terrible theory. I think it's just you rest everybody you can and anybody you can to be as healthy as possible for the postseason, even though the Eagles are playing for the 2 seed versus the 3 seed, which I don't know if it matters. Your guess is as good as mine. It's going to be an interesting playoffs for sure in the NFC and the AFC as well, because the AFC is more loaded with higher win total teams. So there you go on that. Coming up, the NBA has a lot of things to fix, but I think this is the biggest of their fix lists, and it should be an easy one, but for some reason, it ain't. I'll tell you what that is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
How about them Wiz? They win again last night. Stop already. Stop it. Got to stay bottom eight here. They beat the shorthanded Nets 119-99. Alex Saar 19, CJ McCollum 17 for the Wiz. Still have the second worst record in the East at 9-23, but they've won 4 or 5. So there you go. Also, I believe, who was it? Was it Darius who said, notice how I mentioned the Wiz win and get a Big Mac and now they're a wagon? Grant says they can't lose. Blowing up my phone this morning, boys. Yes, indeed. And they win in those alt gold jerseys, which also seem to be a bit of a good luck charm. You know, there's people that track this stuff about records in specific jerseys. And with the NBA, with so many different jerseys now being put into the mix, you're going to have a pretty good spreadsheet to keep track of all of that. Welcome back. Sports Saturday here on The Fan. Steve Zabin sitting in for Adam Epstein, a.k.a. WAD, and AWAD's Army. Phone number is 800-636-1067. My final full week 18 rundown coming up at 11 o'clock, and then we duck out of the way today at 11:25 for Tech and Wake in men's hoops. Also, it's funny because men's basketball, you're starting to see now, you get more highlights being pushed up the rundown on SportsCenter because we're in this transition period where the flood of football is finally receding. We're still going to have it all month in this, the month of playoff-uary. But the big rush of it is now behind us, so we're starting to kind of transition, which is okay. Hope you had a good new year yourself. The NBA, to me, is awesome when the playoffs start. The NBA, from when it starts in November all the way through to springtime, is a, okay, I'll watch it when I have a moment, if I have a moment, but I'm not going to really get into it. Now, look, you may differ. You may love the NBA and watch it on a regular basis, and that's cool. Everyone has their preferred sports, the ones they get super into. The NBA has a number of problems to me, and I think a lot of sports fans who look at the league and say, you know, you can be better than this. To me, flopping is a massive, massive problem. They actually called a flop on somebody the other night. Forget who it was, and it kind of went semi-viral because this ability for referees to call flops has been on the books. It's been a tool in their arsenal to cut down on this scourge on the league and this cancer on sports that has jumped from soccer over to the NBA and unfortunately is becoming now a thing in the NFL to a certain degree. Flopping is flat-out cheating. You are faking being fouled to draw a call. Well, everyone does it. You're just trying to win. Okay. There should be serious anti-flopping measures going on in the NBA because the players have gotten so good at it. And it's hard, even for the referees that are trying not to call it in a split second, to not get fooled by artful floppers. However, the whistle that the league's MVP on the reigning champion, Oklahoma City Thunder, gets is outrageous. SGA is a very good player. He's a great player. I'll give him that. He's a great player. He doesn't do much for me. He's not the next Jordan to me or even LeBron, but great player. He should not be getting the calls he gets. It's absurd. It's almost on a nightly basis, whether it's Chris Finch for the Timberwolves getting ejected from a game in the first quarter because he just couldn't stand it, seeing SGA do his jump shot, leg kick out, fall down, whoa, whoops, I got fouled, give me 3 free throws. Act. It's Finch one night. Last night it was Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors. Take a listen to this outrage after SGA got another absurd, obscene, late foul call from way across the court.
Well, junior official called it from 40 feet away.
You got to challenge that one.
But let me tell you, I mean, where's the contact? Yeah, and how did you see it from 40 feet away on the other side of the court?
Maybe you can say there was some lower extremity.
Oh, the Evan Scott.
I mean, it was as bad as anything you will see. Truly was not touched, and it was the typical fall away and fall to the ground move by the league's MVP. He should be better than this. But look, when LeBron James is one of the league's biggest floppers and most shameless floppers, when LeBron James was once caught writhing on the ground in pain and then shielded his eye and he did that thing where he flipped his hand up and he looked up with his eye that was supposedly hurt from being poked in it to see if the referees were calling a foul and then covered his eye back up. A shameless move that was comical looking at it. If LeBron is going to do it, then I guess why wouldn't you do it if you're getting the calls if you're SGA? I just don't know why referees haven't had video clips sent out to them via their constant day-to-day, week-to-week, game-to-game online training to say, don't call this. Don't give him this. This is what he does. He either drives and initiates mild contact and then flings himself off balance to the ground, or he'll take a jumper against a defender who is giving him proper space and room to land, and he'll kick his legs out and initiate contact that way and then flop to the ground. My solution, or my proposed solution, and again, this is something most people are having their hard time getting their head around. They don't seem to like it. I said, if you fall to the ground, it's not a foul, period. To get a foul, you have to stay on your feet. Oh, it's ridiculous. That means guys are going to be fouling dudes so hard that, you know, they're knocking them out of the sky. Man, I think you'd be surprised. I think even if you foul a guy really, really hard, if he's determined to stay on his feet afterwards, he does most of the time. It's the falling to the ground like a toddler in aisle 6 of the checkout lines at your supermarket because you didn't get candy from mom. That is what's tricking the refs. They just assume, oh, he fell down. There must have been contact. Not really. But it's tough because when you see this happen and you want to be invested in the NBA in the regular season, it's hard because you look at it and you go, what are we doing? Coming up, baseball should be stirring right now in people's minds because we're kind of close to pitchers and catchers, but why is there a cloud hanging over this baseball season? I'll tell you why next. I love the new year. It still has that new year smell to it like a new car. Maybe your resolutions are still intact. Who knows? Happy January 3rd, everybody. Zabe sitting in for AWOD today on Sports Saturday here on The Fan. 800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Charlie, who is on hold right now. He's been patient, wants to get on from College Park. Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
I'm good, Zabe. I'm enjoying a beautiful day out here, even though it's cool with a little sun.
Love it.
Happy New Year and peace to you and your family and to your producer.
Yes, sir.
The main thing I tell people this time of year is, look, safety. Be safe and peace to everybody, which is seems unattainable sometimes. I want to touch briefly on the golf courses thing and on pro and college football. I won't do a lot of political stuff very heavy if you don't want me to, because D-Mitch and Finley don't want any of that on their time. But as far as the golf courses go, my brother used to play East Potomac, his friend, frequently, and I caddied for him one time. I shot one round, and I don't know whether it was 9 holes or 18, I shot a 100. That's the only round of golf I ever shot. But I used to ride my bike around Haynes Point. I was born and raised in Southwest D.C. Yeah. I knew the family, Mr. Leffler, who owned East Potomac, at least in the 60s that I remember. A friend of mine dated his daughter. I'm not surprised at the changeover from the Lynx Trust. It's just typical of this administration. It's just another thing I don't know how you feel about it, but that's all I'm going to say if you don't want me to get too heavy.
Well, I will say this without extrapolating it to other political things. This, unfortunately, is how Trump operates in the real estate world and the developer world. It is a mean game. It's a bullying game where if you can run somebody off of a valuable thing, then you generally do it. And he's not the only one to do it this way. The Lerner family has been chronicled, owner of the Nats, as to being a bare-knuckle operator and developer of malls and real estate and everything else, and enforcing unbelievably draconian terms to leases and always negotiating things in their favor. It's a rough game. I just am disappointed because Trump should understand the value of what was being done by the National Links Trust and should have had confidence they could have finished the vision. And with all the stuff else that's going on that's far more important, I don't have no idea why they decided this was going to be the thing.
He has no conception of the common man and what it means to the public. I have actually cross-country skied on Rock Creek Golf Course in the wintertime.
Well, I mean, they're not going to nuke it, and it's still going to be a golf course. It could have been better under the National Links Trust. I don't know what it's going to become now. They had already started renovating Rock Creek Golf Course,
yeah,
so that's going to halt right now, and it's too bad. Okay, with that...
Throwing college football. I've been watching since 1958. I was a walk-on at Maryland. I tried out for the Redskins. I live and die with football, but they have beaten the little boy out of me.
Oh, no.
I love college football. I was a walk-on at Maryland. Unfortunately, I didn't make it. That was unrealistic. But paying the players, I understand. That was long overdue. But the way it's become, the transfer portal and negotiating contracts when kids are still in high school, and the Mega Millions play 1 year and go somewhere else, that's horse hockey. And pro football, they're going to go to 18 games. They're going to squeeze every dollar out they can. They're going to go to Brazil. They're going to go to China. They're going to go to Germany. They're going to go to England. They're beating the little boy out of me. And I love pro football. I'm a Redskins fan, whether they're 0-17. Thanks, man.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. I appreciate that. Yeah, college sports has a lot of things. A lot of problems that I don't know how they're going to square the circle. People screaming about, oh, this is the NCAA's fault because they were too slow to react. It doesn't matter how slow they were to react. Right now, college sports are this, it's a boat being pounded against the rocks of antitrust limitations where they can't do certain things to get out from being pounded against the rocks. So you have this Wild West, non-amateur, miniature pro leagues. You got a miniature NBA and a miniature NFL, and they have major holes in how they operate that creates vast inequities and unfairness. And I don't know how it's going to get fixed anytime soon. And I don't think Congress has the 60 votes to save the NCAA. And I'm not even sure that would do it itself. So I guess we got to soldier through until this thing evolves, until it hopefully evolves into something more stable and sensible. So there you go on that. All right, you're going to talk a little bit of baseball because, you know, new year, people start planning stuff, and they like to go somewhere warm in the winter and watch the baseball team, and the Nats are embracing the mother of all youth movements with their manager and their team president and their GM. It's going to be another one of those developmental years in town, but it might be the last one for a while because of the looming lockout. I want to talk about that more in our short hour number three. Coming up next here on Sports Saturday, right here on The Fan. End of the road tomorrow for the NFL regular season. Week 18 culminates with the Sunday Nighter in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers in what might be his last game as a pro if they lose against the Ravens, who are expected to start Lamar Jackson in a win and get in, lose, and you get nothing, sir. Final game of the year. It's our final two segments here on Sports Saturday. I am Steve Zabin. Thank you for tuning in this morning. In for Adam Epstein, AWOD's Army. I gotcha. We'll be going until 11:26, and then we'll duck out of the way for Wake Forest and Virginia Tech in men's hoops. Two games today in the NFL. Carolina, Tampa Bay, 4:30, and then Seattle, San Francisco for the one seed in the NFC at 8 o'clock tonight, both on ESPN. No more college bowl games other than the two college football playoff semifinals, which technically are bowls. Fiesta Bowl, the Verbo Fiesta Bowl on Thursday, Miami and Ole Miss. Miami is a 3.5-point favorite despite being the lower seed. And then Friday, we've got Oregon, Indiana in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Somebody joked, I want to wake up. I would like to explain someday how you have to win the Rose Bowl to then play in the Peach Bowl the next day or the next week. That's the way it is right now. I'm torn between two compelling narratives, Indiana and Ole Miss. Indiana winning it all would be so incredible, so unthinkable, given how bad the program was and given how cocky and cartoon-like Kurt Cignetti is. A coach who in his first press conference said dismissively, when asked, why do you think you're going to do anything different than what has been done here at Indiana on the gridiron? He said without blinking, I win. Google me. I mean, if that was in a movie, you'd laugh and say, come on now. You can't write a script like that. That's absurd. No coach would ever say that. Well, he just did. And Indiana absolutely destroyed Alabama. So, yeah, of course I'm rooting for Indiana, but I'm also rooting for Ole Miss. To me, if Ole Miss were to stand under the confetti and hold up that trophy at the end of the road without Lane Kiffin, I would be so happy. I would feel like the universe is paying attention and that karma is not dead. It would be the most satisfying thing ever. Now, I know you're going to say, well, Lane Kiffin still got his money, and LSU is going to be a monster to deal with in years to come. They'll be in the college football playoff almost certainly. They'll have a good shot to win it themselves. Lane Kiffin is that good. They've got all the money. Listen, I get it. But this could be a special moment for Ole Miss, and to do this without Lane Kiffin, that would be so satisfying to me. That said, watch, it'll be Miami-Oregon in the final, and I'll probably only watch part of it. No, I'm just kidding. I'll watch the whole thing either way. Just like I'm going to hunker down and watch the NFL Week 18 regular season games tomorrow or regular slate of games before the Sunday Nighter for one simple reason. It's the last big shot of football we have before the playoffs begin for a long, long time. And so even the junk games, I remind myself, you know, you would kill for this meaningless game in July. So I'm going to eat it tomorrow while it's on my plate, have a nice little batch of air fryer wings from my local Harris Teeter. It's the greatest deal going. I get a dozen all flats. They let me get all flats, even though it's putting the ratio of flats to drummies way out of whack in the Harris Teeter meat department. The very nice woman happily finds me a dozen all flats in a variety of their little spices and flavors, puts them in a bag, puts it on the scale. I look at the price and I say, this cannot be right. $4.73. Pop them in the air fryer, 18 minutes, pop them out, drizzle them with a combination of some Tinder's buffalo wing sauce in a big bottle from Costco with some Japanese barbecue sauce, just a little zigzag on top. Oh, does it sound like I'm anticipating my wings too much for tomorrow? I've got to wait a whole 24 hours for them. And then the football will be on and whatever. Don't have a fantasy team. I'll dabble. I'll wager responsibly, lightly on these games just for fun because that's what you should do. You can't win money on the NFL. Stop trying to win, people. Stop trying to figure things out. It's impossible. Just wager for fun. Light little wagering that's not going to affect your life one way or the other. But then we'll get into January. Well, we're into January. Then we'll get into the playoffs, and the playoffs will be great, and maybe. And then they'll go quick, and we go quickly. We go quickly through the playoffs. And then February completely sucks. But baseball is coming, and that's a nice thing. People like to look ahead. They start this time of year is when people start planning stuff further. Where, you know, we're going to go on vacation this year. We're going to go do this. We have a golf trip coming up. Blah, blah, blah. And people plan for spring training. People like to go to spring training, whether or not their team is expected to do anything this year. And I'd say that the Nationals are not expected to do much. Talk about a youth movement. They hire Blake Butera, 33 years old, just a young fella, as their new skipper. They have a 35-year-old president of baseball ops in Paul Toboni, and they've got a 31-year-old general manager in Ani Colombi. And the effort is to be young, nimble, modern, and, well, let's face it, inexpensive. It's not going to be a glorious year, but it's going to be likely the last year of baseball before there is a significant work stoppage, which is looming like a giant cloud over the season. Because of the insane imbalance in spending, and not just the spending, but the deferred spending of teams like the Dodgers. Even though the World Series was an absolute banger this year, incredible, coming right down to the last plays at the plate, where replay couldn't even for sure exactly say what happened. The entire World Series hung in the balance. Exciting players, incredible performances. The fact that the pitchers who started Game 7, who pitched, appeared in Game 7 for the Dodgers, that their salaries, when you add them up together, was in excess of, I believe, $1 billion, is insane. And not sustainable, and not even remotely fair as a sporting concept. And yet, they've been allowed to do this. The lockout clouds are gathering, and it's going to take a miracle to avoid them. So, I want to enjoy this baseball season as it is coming up on us for what it's worth, but it looks grim after that. But I will say that it's only 35 days away from pitchers and catchers. And the first Nats game down there at Cacti Park in West Palm is only 21 plus 30. I mean, it's about 45 days away, 47 days away, as they get ready to start training against, not against, but training with the Astros down there in Florida. All right, so NFL-wise, like I said, here's the basic slate of games. Let me quickly run through the latest and give you a few nuggets on what I've prepped up here for this week 18, I should say. Buccaneers Panthers today, 4:30. Tampa has been in a virtual free fall. Baker Mayfield is at 3,490 in yards, 25 touchdowns over 10 INTs. He has been hurt this season, but there was that talk early about Baker Mayfield for MVP. That is completely evaporated amidst the Buccaneers' slide. They threw away at least three games they should have easily won. That would have changed everything with where they are right now. They're playing for their lives. Carolina's been a nice story this year, and the resurrection of Bryce Young has been great under Dave Canales, but I think they're a pretty weak offering. Whoever gets the winner of the NFC South as the 5 seed, I think is going to have an easy task at hand once the playoffs begin. Niners Seahawks should be absolute heavyweight must-watch TV, as the Niners and Kyle Shanahan have plowed through a season of massive injuries. Maybe a touch of disrespect that the Seahawks are favored in this one on the road by 2.5 points. We'll see how the Niners come out on that, and we'll see if Sam Darnold can avoid seeing ghosts. Packers, Vikings, 1 o'clock games. There's 6 1 o'clocks. There's 7 4 25s. Packers are resting their guys. They will, I've not seen their announced starter yet. I know the Vikings have announced J.J. McCarthy will start instead of Max Brosmer. So the Vikings will try to finish their now eliminated year on the plus side as they sit at 8-8. The Packers are locked in as the 7 seed. The Falcons and Saints are the crucial game on Sunday, because if the Falcons beat the Saints as 3.5-point favorites, then they will throw the NFC South to the Panthers, no matter what. So it's a two-part thing for Tampa. They got to win today and then hope the Saints can pull off the upset. The Browns and Bengals, classic battle for Ohio. Cincinnati minus 7.5 at home, with Joe Burrow playing instead of Joe Flacco. Flacco started the year on the Browns, against the Bengals. He could have started for the Bengals against the Browns to end the year, which would have been a cool bookend, but guess what? It didn't happen. The Giants have a chance to lock up the one seed, or no, not the one seed, but the number one pick in the NFL draft. Will they screw it up against the Cowboys at the Meadowlands? Dallas is -3.5. Dak Prescott is playing, says he wants the Cowboys to finish at least 500 at 8-8-1 and to finish out the season on a positive note. The Jaguars and Titans. Ugh. Jaguars are 13.5-point favorites in this one. The Titans are pretty much non-functional, the only other non-functional team in the league. The Jaguars have a lot to play for because the seeding in the AFC is quite fluid. There is a path for them to be the one seed. It would take Denver losing, though, and I'm not sure I see that. Colts and Texans. Phillip Rivers retired again, if you didn't see it. So he's out. It'll be their kid from Notre Dame starting for Indy. The Texans at 11-5 do have seeding to play for. Their defense is unbelievable. Houston -10 in this 1 o'clock game. Jets and Bills. It's looking almost surely that Josh Allen will not play for the Bills as they are going to kind of semi-shut it down. The Jets put one of the worst games on film last week in getting blown out by the Patriots at 3-13. I don't see how Aaron Glenn survives this one. Lions and Bears. The Bears can secure the 2 seed with a win. The Lions have nothing to play for. Chicago is just -3, and Caleb Williams is within striking distance of 4,000 yards passing, which has never, ever been done by the Bears. Never had a 4,000-yard passer. And it matters to a lot of fans more than you think it would. Jay Cutler got close, 38 and change in 2014. Chargers-Broncos. Broncos are big favorites, -13.5 in the afternoon window. Chargers have announced they're not playing anybody, including Justin Herbert. If the Broncos win, then they are the one seed. Expect them to be motivated. Chiefs and Raiders. It's looking like Aiden Hutchinson against Chris Olutekin, as the Raiders have a chance to do what they kept. Just do what you do, Raiders, and stay down there at the two-win mark, and you're got a puncher's chance. Well, you'll have the number one seed if you do keep there at the two seed. But if the Giants win stupidly, then that would, you know, screw them there. The Cardinals and the Rams. The Rams have seeding to play for, but it doesn't look like they're going to care very much. The Cardinals at 3-13 are miserable as well. Then the Dolphins and Patriots play with a little motivation. Patriots 11.5, and the Eagles-Commanders game is also in the late window. Philly -4.5, leading us to Ravens-Steelers tomorrow night. Quick break, final segment coming up next. Final segment here for me today. Zabe sitting in for AWOD. Hokie basketball comes your way in mere minutes. As much as FedEx Field or Northwest Stadium is despised by many, or at least groaned at, it's not the worst in the league. Or at least you should say this about FedEx or Northwest Stadium. At least it has seen a playoff game or two. Do you know that now with the Cleveland Browns online to start building a new stadium, which should be ready in, I think, 3 years-ish? Don't quote me on that. That Huntington Bank Stadium will have been born, will have lived, and will die if the Browns don't get there together in the next 3 years without ever having seen a single playoff game. Behold, your factoid of the day. That's an incredible thing. I stumbled onto this thread on social media where they were doing some research going, okay, well, what other stadiums can say they lived their whole life in the NFL and never hosted a playoff game? And a lot of the answers were sort of temporary stadiums that were around for a brief period as an NFL venue, like Tulane hosted NFL games for a little while. The Yale Bowl hosted the Giants for 1 year. But we're talking about built specifically in the modern era, which the new dog pound was built. And unless things change, they'll never see a home playoff game ever. So thank God the Commanders, at least, excuse me, the Redskins got to see some home playoff games, as well as the football team got to see a home playoff game. Back to the Nats for a quick second. I forgot to mention the larger news regarding the Nats. Their broadcast deal with Masson fell apart and did not end up in a new contract. So the Nats are now going to be distributed, most likely, according to reports, by ESPN for the upcoming season. This is happening in other markets with other teams where they're having a scramble, and they're going to have to find a way to get the games on television. It's something that is going to be a big transition issue for Major League Baseball, figuring out, okay, we used to get so much revenue from your RSNs, regional sports networks, and now that model is falling apart. What do we do? They're going to get the games on TV. You may have to pay more for them, that's for sure, but they're going to get them on TV one way or the other. Also, it's a World Baseball Classic year. I forgot to mention that when it comes to the baseball season starting up here, is that there will be a bit of a disruption and a management of arms as you start to navigate around the World Baseball Classic, which is on a three-year cycle. I happen to like it. Some fans scream at it, saying all it does is get our star players injured. I think it's pretty cool. We got World Baseball Classic, we got Winter Olympics in Italy, and we got the World Cup here in the States and Canada and Mexico. Big year, 2026. And it's America's 250th birthday, so yeah, start stocking up on fireworks from Phantom, like now, for your bash on the 4th of July. Here's a nugget. Every remaining playoff team in the college football playoff is coached by a former Nick Saban assistant, except for one, Alabama. This was before the games on New Year's Day. That's pretty remarkable. Kalen DeBoer is an excellent coach, but the mystique of Alabama, the fear factor of Alabama, is definitely no longer. A couple other things real quick here. Just scrolling through before I'm done today. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Here's the one that I saw. This is maybe the tweet that wins the day. Shout out to everyone who said they would start eating healthy in the new year and have already decided to wait until Monday. And then there's the gif of Leonardo DiCaprio in The Great Gatsby, fireworks behind him, raising a glass with a smile on his face. Here's to you, my fellow New Year's resolution procrastinating friends. Why do now what could otherwise be left until Monday? All right, good ride today. Metal Chris, dependable as always, my friend. I appreciate it very much. Thank you to our two guests today, Denton Day, who's going to be out at Honor Brewing in Loudoun today with Linnell Willingham for the Burgundy and Gold Game Day, streaming live today. I said today, tomorrow, thank you. He'll be out there tomorrow. Don't go there today, unless you're going to Honor Brewing anyway. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock to 4:25, and then doing halftime and post-game show streaming on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube channel and other outlets. And thank you as well to Damian Cosby of the National Links Trust, talking about what's happening with them losing their lease with the Interior Department. Hopefully something good comes of that. All right, Enter Sandman as Exit El Baldo. We get out of the way for Virginia Tech hoops against Wake Forest. Thank you so much for listening today and being a regular listener. Hit me up on Twitter at Zabe Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Listen to my podcast if you have a moment at the ZabeCast. Thanks for being with me today, and we will see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.